Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Big Sunday.
Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson.
Ron Kopp, Arrowhead Pride up next. The lineup is out for the Royals. Merrifield, Benintendi, Dozier, Melendez, the top four hitters. Rivera, Santana, Isbell, Nicky Lopez, and Sebastian Rivero behind the plate as the Royals try to avoid a sweep at home versus the Twins since 2010. It's good talk at the Vern about the because I think the trade deadline is going to be interesting around Kansas City. Like Benintendi, you could think, okay, is that a trade piece? Yes. But again, that's a rental player. And yeah, I know Zach Greinke would be that too. But to me, Zach Greinke would be help you more as a contender than Andrew Benintendi would. Because it's a guy, once you get to the down the stretch or get into the postseason, a guy you'd want on the mound. I mean, who doesn't want a Hall of Famer? They've seen it and done that. But again, I think the trade deadline is going to be interesting for the Royals. And I think you got to listen to everything because you never know. It's like Chiefs listen to the Tyreek Hill. Who would have thought Tyreek Hill would have been traded? And he is. I mean, that is a superstar traded from your organization. I mean, you don't like it. You don't like that news when it hits. But it's reality. And you understand, start understanding the reasons for it. Chiefs got picks. They made that move. It's all about the picks. It's like the Orlando Brown trade with Baltimore. They got back pick 58, which they turned into Nick Bolton. If you're smart with what you get in return, that's when you get good. That's general managing. Finding a way to continue to have success by keeping on to one cog. Like the Royals. If you plant your flag and say you're not getting rid of Melendez and Bobby Witt Jr., you're not getting rid of them, but everybody else is negotiable. If you're the Chiefs, you're saying, we're not getting rid of Pat Mahomes, but we'll listen to everything else. And I'm not talking like a Kelsey or something like that. He's got a few years left at his age. He's not going anywhere. But, again, you have to be willing to listen to others because if you don't, you're not going anywhere. I guess you can make the argument Billy Beane listens to everybody and trades everybody away, which is true, and he hadn't won anything. That is true as well. So there are the asterisks to the conversation. But speaking of those Kansas City Chiefs and some of the news that they're making lately, how do we feel about what they've constructed now at their wide receiver corps? We'll talk to Ron Kopp, Arrowhead Pride, next.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Bank Sunday. Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. Joining us now, the lead analyst, arrowheadpride.com, Ron Kopp. At Ron underscore Kopp. That's P or K-O-P-P. What's up, Ron?
Morning, Jay. How are you today, my friend?
Hey, what's going on, my brother? Hey, I was looking at some things, and yeah, I love what Lewis Riddick said this week about the Chiefs because, you know, he took them to be the team. And here's my thing. Until you've proven otherwise, why aren't you the team? It's not exactly a hot take, but it's a real take to me. But as you guys pointed out over at arrowheadpride.com, a story by Pete Sweeney, that Lewis Riddick, when he speaks about the Chiefs, he listens closely, kind of like E.F. Hutton when he talks. We listen. His group of players, which I always like this list of non-first rounders that could be big impacts, and he picked Darian Kennard for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think at some point, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a starting right tackle for this team.
Yeah, no, I don't think it should be surprising at all, considering the Lucas Niang part, where obviously he's recovering from that patella tendon he tore January, right? That's early January. That's going to be tough for him to get back
at that size, you know,
off season.
Yeah,
exactly. Especially at the offensive line position, where you're really, especially at the offensive tackle, where you're really having to, you know, get back in your set and really, you know, use your legs to kind of, you know, match mirror, you know, speed rushers and all that. But yeah, so I think when you're getting on the practice field and the coaches are looking at both guys in terms of Kennard and then Andrew Wiley at tackle, yeah, they know what they have in Wiley, but you got to believe when they see Kennard on the field, they're going to be very enticed with that size, that ability. You know, he moves pretty well for his size. I wouldn't say maybe, you know, that reflects necessarily in his pass protection. I do think he's going to be rough at that right at the beginning of his career. But when you look at his Kentucky tape, man, there's some times where he's either leading on a screen or he's pulling from that right tackle position, and he really looks good, you know, coming around a corner, you know, being able to lock onto a guy in the open field for a guy his size, you know. But, again, it doesn't necessarily translate to pass protection, but all that to say, he's gonna be impressive. He's going to come out and be impressive as a physical specimen. And I just feel like on the practice field especially, you're looking at the coaching staff, you're comparing him to Andrew Wiley, who, again, we know what he is, but he's not going to be someone that super is impressive, you know, just looking at you, watching him on the practice field, just because of what size he is, right? And Kennard's just such a big dude. Again, 11 and a quarter inch hands, just these monster hands, monster paws. I really think Kennard has that chance just because they're going to get on the practice field and they're just going to be like, look, they're not going to want to not put him on the field with Trey Smith next to him in the ways they could, you know, play some volleyball with those two and then obviously the rest of the line. So I think it's a very good shot. And obviously, as you mentioned at the top, man, if Lewis Riddick is saying it, we definitely got to be listening. He's inside this Chiefs, in the Chiefs organization for sure.
I like the chip on the shoulder, the attitude, because you can't just give that to people. I never forget Dayton Moore at the Royals saying at one time, like, you know, you can, in paraphrasing here, but you can always take the fire down. You can always temper, but you can't give it. Like, once you got it, you can lower it down, but you can't give it. So he's already got it. Like, you can temper that or whatever to what you want to mold into your coaching style, but it's hard to take a player and give them that. You either have it or you don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's why Trey Smith was so enticing. From a sixth round pick, like, he may not have been the most polished player, and you know, it's not maybe just the medical history that made him slide down, but the Chiefs took the swing on that physical ability, that nastiness, that aggressiveness, that violence, and especially at the guard position, I think you really like maximize that early in a career before they can really get the technique down. Maybe I think at tackle it is a little tougher, and that's where maybe we need to have a little bit of a, you know, just a self-awareness of how hard it is to come in right away and be on an island by yourself at the right tackle position, especially in the Chiefs division, man. You're going to be going against, you know, one of two guys on an AFC West team. If you're looking at the Chargers, it's either Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa, right? If you're looking at the Broncos, it's either Randy Gregory or Bradley Chubb, obviously. And then the Raiders have, you know, now they have Chandler Jones as well there along with Max Crosby. It's not like you're going to get, you know, a fair shake at right tackle. It's going to be tough as a rookie. So that's where I would say, you know, maybe it's good to temper expectations a little bit. And maybe that's where the Chiefs may value Andrew Wiley right off the bat, because he did play pretty well down the stretch. You know, I was impressed with Wiley holding up down the stretch of the season last year. It wasn't perfect. I don't think anyone expected it to be perfect, right? I mean, he's a guy that's played guard a lot of his career, not a lot of tackle. But he held up pretty well, and so that's where this balance comes in, right? If they're going to be a more run-heavy team this year, which I think is possible, they might value Kennard a little more. But if they're still going to be passing as much as they always have, you know, drop back a lot and maybe play more of those zone runs than the downhill power run scheme, then maybe Wiley is more reliable. So that's what's going to be really interesting about this offseason's battle, is just which type of right tackle they prefer, maybe.
Something last week, and people can go check it out over at arrowheadpride.com, is really good. The first episode of the offseason with your Out of Structure podcast. With Matt, and I think you guys hit on some really good stuff, and that's what positions improved from last year. And you had Trent McDuffie replacing Charvarius Ward. Like, Ward has kind of come into his own. Like, you know, as a former undrafted guy that was traded for Parker Anger, and he kind of became, you know, the player that he was. He parlayed it into a big contract this year with the Niners. But you think Trent McDuffie coming in, replacing Charvarius Ward, could take you to another level?
Yeah, you know, I think Charvarius Ward, I mean, he really impressed and earned that contract, right? I mean, the last couple of years, man, he has really played good football. I mean, it wasn't really fluky necessarily, but I do think he was helped a lot by the scheme. And I do think the safety position, the Chiefs, how much they value it, you know, guys like Tyrann Mathieu covering the back end, you know, kind of helping corners out. You know, I do think that contributes to a little bit. Where Trent McDuffie is improved over Charvarius Ward is, I think you can just, right away, it's tough to play corner in the NFL, especially with the rules and everything. So, you know, as a rookie, you're going to struggle. But in general, he should be a better cover corner in terms of just sticking him on a receiver, you know, trusting him to play on an island a little more. You know, we saw it last year against the Bengals, and you know, that, especially the regular season game. You know, Spagnuolo wants to trust his corners to play on islands, even against Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. And sometimes it just doesn't work if you're, you know, especially with these kind of corners. He likes to value guys that maybe don't have the same coverage ability, but maybe have the physical, the length, the aggressiveness, like a Charvarius Ward, like a Rashad Fenton. But Trent McDuffie is different than that. He doesn't have that same length. He doesn't have that same body type. But what he does have is a better coverage ability, better feel for just how to stick onto a guy, whether it is man or zone. I believe he's going to be a better cover corner. And I think that really is going to change how the defense can play, you know, be in certain situations. They can trust the guy to, you know, match up with the number one receiver and maybe, you know, maybe not give him as much help as they thought maybe they had to before with a Ward or even any of the other outside cornerbacks they've had to play with. So that's where I think McDuffie is an improvement. It's just that it gives them a more variety of coverage they can play now on those third downs, on those specialized downs. And maybe last year, that sometimes when they trusted to do that, it just didn't work because the corners just aren't built to be man-to-man sticky guys, you know, especially with guys like Jamar Chase. McDuffie should have a little bit better of a chance than that.
What do you value more? Because the Chiefs drafted five defensive backs, and obviously the one, quote, true edge rusher in Karloftis, even though Chennault can rush the quarterback himself, but what do you view as the best thing on defense right now? Is it the corners, especially these quarterbacks, or the edge rushing? Or is it a combination of both, or do you look at one being more important than the other?
Well, if you're asking me personally, if I'm the coach or the GM or whatever, like, I'm valuing pass rush. I'm stacking on my pass rush. I'm getting multiple guys, even if they're coming off the bench, that can get after the quarterback. I really think that's the more important part of this, because I think that really helps your coverage. I think, and we've seen that in Kansas City. I think there have been times where the pass rush has been so good that it's made corners and safeties look a lot better than they probably were. But then you see on the flip side, sometimes when the pass rush isn't going good, the corners can play as well as we probably expect them to, but it's still not going to help if the pass rush isn't getting home. I really value pass rush, but the Chiefs have obviously gone a different way this offseason, and I think it's very interesting. They're kind of banking on the coverage kind of helping the pass rush get home, right?
Yep.
Which I think there could be something to that, man. You know, the Chiefs were very high in the league in pressures last year, but not very high in sacks. And so maybe what that tells you is, maybe the coverage being a little better, that, you know, making the quarterback hold on to it for a second longer because the coverage isn't just giving up wide open passes, maybe that allows the passers to get home that much quicker. Now, you think about the AFC Championship. It wasn't about, the quarterback getting rid of the ball quick sometimes. It was about the pass rushers missing tackles, which is obviously unacceptable. But, that can be kind of fluky. You're not expecting Chris Jones to let Joe Burrow slip out of his hands twice in a play all the time. You know, so I think I would value pass rush more. The Chiefs are obviously, this offseason it seems like they are going to bank on coverage being that primary thing. And, you know, the way to do that, I would think, is get high-end guys, right? You know, your cornerbacks and safeties, they're not rotating like pass rushers. You got to have a rotation at pass rusher. Cornerbacks and safeties, you got your guys, and you're playing those four or five or six guys depending on the dime or nickel packages. And so that's where it's like, stacking up the cornerback position. You really need your high-end guys to be playing well. It doesn't, the backups may not be needing to play as well. On the pass rush side, you need the whole depth to be playing well, right? Because they're going to be rotating in constantly. You know, you're not having your guys play 100% of the snaps. They play 70% of the snaps maybe. So that's why I think it would make more sense to stack up the pass rush than the defensive backfield. Again, the Chiefs are trusting the defensive backfield, and it's going to be interesting. I'm fascinated to see how it works out.
Speaking of pass rush, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN just tweeted out earlier this morning, Cleveland Browns, as of this week, have remained optimistic about Jadeveon Clowney re-signing per sources, but still no deal completed. That's a guy that there's been no connection to the Chiefs whatsoever, but he did have 9 sacks last year, so I wouldn't rule it out the realm of possibility, but it looked like Cleveland where he could end up. I would take him here, but that's just me. But
right, yeah, I would too. I would too. 9 sacks last year, that's a pretty good number for Clowney, man. You know, he's known as a guy throughout his career that's never really lived up to the pass rush side of being a number one overall pick, but that doesn't mean he's not a good – he's a really good run defender, man. He really is. And that's where, you bring him in as a guy that can just eat up snaps and really give you quality play on early downs. And maybe that allows, your pass rushers to be ready for third downs and specialize in those packages. And that's the thing. Clowney, again, 9 sacks last year. Maybe he's, taking a turn where he can be more trusted on pass downs. All that to say, though, the 9 sacks may, he may be demanding a little bit bigger of a price tag than maybe, the Chiefs are willing to offer, maybe because of that number, because of that sack number. He's also a veteran, where we see it with Melvin Ingram. I know Clowney's not as old or as experienced, and maybe not even as proven as guys like Melvin Ingram or other defensive ends out there. But these guys, man, they may not just want to go to OTAs and may just be waiting for that July signing, right, so they can be ready for training camp. So maybe that's what we're seeing with Clowney. But, again, all that to say, man, with 9 sacks, he may be too expensive maybe. But if it's a good price, I think it'd be a great fit. Playing 4-3 DN, that's going to give you quality snaps and be a hard guy to deal with at the offensive tackle position.
And last but not least, Ron, the Mike and Sam linebacker, Nick Bolton replacing Anthony Hitchens, Leo Chenal replacing Nick Bolton. So you have Chenal at Sam, which he could do, and that's obviously would set him up more for the pass. He's got mad pass rushing skills, obviously,
right?
8 sacks as an inside linebacker, led Wisconsin 2 straight years from the inside, but that's an enticing linebacker group. And then your nickel, you take Chenal out, and you keep Bolton and Gay in there because Gay's a great coverage linebacker. But I think that's interesting. This linebacker core has a chance to be really something special.
Absolutely. No, that's the most exciting position for me right now, just because, not only is Chenal an exciting rookie, but, we're going to see Bolton and Gay continue to take steps forward as in their careers. They're still very young. I mean, Gay, honestly – you could say last year was maybe his first true year after, a rookie season where, COVID impacts a lot, and he didn't get on the field quite a bit until later in the season. Then he gets injured late in the season. We're going to see some progression from all three of those guys. And what I really like about it, honestly, is the versatility that all three can do. So I say Chenault at Sam linebacker, man, but he's so good off ball, off the line of scrimmage, and coming up, you know, and defending the run from those spots as well. You can put Gay or Bolton at the Sam linebacker as well and switch it up depending on how you kind of want to play it. Because, man, Bolton was very good coming up to the line of scrimmage last year, taking on a tight end or a running back and shedding him and making a tackle for loss. So you can kind of interchange him a little bit, because I don't think Chenault should be just cornered into the Sam role. He's a very good player, and I think he could develop and challenge Nick Bolton eventually for that Mike spot. Now, I really like Nick Bolton, so that's nothing against him. I really just think that highly of Leo Chenault, where we might see a really, really good trio of linebackers, one of the best trios in the NFL, in my opinion. It could turn out that way. I'm not saying it maybe is that right now. But the way all they're talented, kind of the way they complement each other, they all have different skill sets to an extent. I really think they could turn into one of the most impactful linebacker groups in the NFL.
No, I'm with you. It's very exciting. You think about the linebacker and the offensive line as two of the real strengths for the Chiefs. That wasn't that way before, but they've been rebuilt into those situations. But Ron Kopp, at Ron_Kopp, K-O-P-P, over at arrowheadpride.com, the lead analyst. Thanks, Ron, but I enjoyed your stuff last week, so we'll keep an eye on what you're doing now.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, shout out Matt Stagner. It every couple weeks now. We're doing weekly, so expect it in your podcast channel a week from tomorrow. Boom. Out of Structure Podcast on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. Check it out. Thanks.
Yeah, Jay. You and Matt do a great job. All right, we'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right, appreciate it.
There you go, Ron Kopp right there. And he's right. You know, you think about this linebacker core, this offensive line, but I'll address that too, because the Chiefs have really strengthened something like right in front of our eyes. And we'll explain next.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to Bink Sunday, Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. Yeah, this linebacker group's going to be fun to watch. Leo Chenault, you put him at Sam, pull him off on third downs, tell the coverage skills to get there. But he can get after the quarterback. So not only can Carl Loftus come here, but Chenault is one of those guys, did lead Wisconsin the last 2 years in sacks. His pass rush grade was actually better than T.J. Watt at Wisconsin for what he can do. But when Lewis Riddick says, look out for Kennard, a right tackle. Usually when Lewis Riddick says some things, keep your eye on that. I would not be surprised if he's the starting right tackle for the Chiefs. And if he is, look at this offensive line. You have Creed Humphrey in his second year at center. Trey Smith, his second year at right guard. You have Kennard be the rookie on that offensive line, which, okay, you can sprinkle a rookie in there. It doesn't matter. Joe Tooney, and then Orlando Brown. And suddenly the offensive line becomes one of your strengths. It's something they had to tear down at the Super Bowl with the Bucs. And they have. And it's not only that. It's going to be an offensive line under contract till Mahomes in his 30s. Last year was a huge talking point, the offensive line. Everybody wanted to talk about the offensive line. The Chiefs made it better. They wanted to rebuild it. They flipped that house mentality of changing everything with the offensive line, and they've done it to where a guy like Lewis Riddick even comes out and says it's one of the strengths. And I agree. I think the offensive line took a while to gel last year. I think early on, when you look at some of the Chiefs' struggles and losses, it did come to the offensive line and the continuity, the chemistry they had together, bringing that offensive line language down just to get it. And they were, because, you know, Orlando Brown went to all the OTAs and minicamp and all that, but it took them a while to get in sync because Orlando Brown came from a run-dominated offense in Baltimore. And not only that, he played mostly right tackle. Except when Ronnie Stanley got hurt, he played some left tackle. But so he's getting used to being full-time left tackle on a pass-oriented team, which was different, but he got used to it, ended up starting in the Pro Bowl. But Orlando Brown and this offensive line will be the same group going forward and only going to get stronger year after year. It's one of the areas you really don't have to worry about. And if the linebacker core with Chenault and Nick Bolton and Willie Gay could be something for the future, we're not worried about that either. That is strengthening two position groups you had a lot of doubt with before. I mean, think about like Ben Neiman's of the world, you know, getting in there and starting, and now you got a definite upgrade at the linebacker position. That's going to excite everybody. But the Chiefs' offensive line, I think at this point, it's one of their strengths. And I think, will the Chiefs ever be a run team? No. But when you add Juju Smith-Schuster and Valdez-Scantling to the wide receivers that are both great blockers, and you have this offensive line, the screen game, which did come alive last year for the Chiefs towards the middle to the end of the year, will be strong next year. But the offensive line is actually, I think, going to be, Grant, I mean, last year it was talked about thing. I remember Eric Fisher when he signed here, that was talked about Eric Fisher being that left tackle. And then all of a sudden people didn't talk about Eric Fisher anymore. Why? Because he had arrived and he was doing his job and you didn't have to worry about him. But to me, the offensive line, the least the Chiefs worries.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's great that we're talking about adding good players, but you've got a left tackle, you've got a left guard, you've got a center. Like, you've got at least 60 to 80% of your line already figured out for the long term, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, you take Mahomes into his 30s with this group. It's only going to get stronger each and every year. I mean, you saw the Bengals. The Bengals are in the same situation as the Chiefs. They had the talent offensively to get the job done, but they didn't have the offensive line to finish the job. And had they had a better offensive line, they might have won the Super Bowl. Because remember Aaron Donald taking over for them? Took over for them because their offensive line sucks. But they've redone their offensive line in the offseason, but you got to be able to play line. You've got to be able to line up and have that group. And so far the Chiefs have. Now the one thing they're kind of trying to restructure and rebuild is that defensive line. Like, that's something they're looking at. It's going to be a kind of a different looking defense this year. Definitely number one sought after thing was strengthening defensive backs for the Chiefs. 5 of the 10 picks were defensive backs. The Chiefs were heavy on the defensive backs because you got to be, because you're playing the best quarterbacks. There's really only 3 games next year, maybe 4. That doesn't have really a above average quarterback they're playing, because you're playing Russell Wilson twice, Justin Herbert twice, Derek Carr twice, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Tom Brady. I mean, they're playing the who's who of quarterbacks. And then you've got the 49ers mixed in there, and whether that's going to be Trey Lance at that point, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, a lot of guys aren't going to worry you for the Chiefs. They're going to have the quarterback advantage going into all these, but they played 13 games against what I consider above average quarterbacks going into the season. So going to need that situation. But I think, honestly, the Chiefs, it's not even a worry. You're not even worried about the offensive line. And Kennard, I think, could be one of those sneaky guys because they needed to address at least one piece on the offensive line. And they didn't bring in Jaron Christian from the Texans that could swing around, play guard or tackle. But I think they, and Kennard was looked upon to be in the NFL as a guard, but played right tackle at Kentucky. I could see him staying at right tackle for the Chiefs. Obviously, they have Wiley back here and Lucas Niang coming back from that torn patellar tendon. That's always an interesting one, too. At his size, that's a hard injury to come back from. So if Darian Kennard is that guy, a guy that won the best blocking trophy in the SEC last year, guy with 30 pancake blocks last year, 1 sack of 350 pass attempts, that's somebody that kind of goes with the theme of the Chiefs. Like Creed Humphrey not giving up sacks at Oklahoma, Trey Smith giving up very few at Tennessee. It was an offensive line. Joe Tooney doesn't give up many sacks. It was an offensive line they brought up here that showed production as well. But coming up next, NFL.com rates its top offenses. Where do they have the Chiefs? I'll tell you next.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.